Blog Talk Radio.
Standing Firm podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners. You can donate on our website at covenantcommission.org or by writing to us at Reformed Church of the Holy Trinity, P.O. Box 1125, Mooresville, Indiana, 46158.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Welcome to the Standing Firm podcast, a ministry of Covenant Commission, brought to you by Reformed Church of the Holy Trinity in Morgan County, Indiana. In an age of apostasy, Standing Firm is dedicated to contending for the Christian worldview according to the doctrines and practices of the Reformed faith. Join us as we stand as good soldiers of Jesus Christ to defend Western Christendom by assaulting the gates of hell until the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of Christ. Good afternoon and welcome to the Standing Firm podcast. This is your host, James Brown Jr., for the next half hour, and we are pleased to be back with you, Blog Talk Radio, and the renewing of this podcast. And we are thankful for all that the Lord has done in our ministry and in our lives. And we hope that you're rejoicing in the goodness and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been discussing ecclesiastical reformation, and it is absolutely essential that we Reformed saints hold our theology in practice as it is defined by Holy Writ. The Scriptures are our final authority for faith and practice. We believe in sola scriptura. However, we do not believe in solo scriptura because we do believe in the teaching of the church throughout history as the standard for that, for what it means to be reformed. Revisionism and redefinitions may initially make our tent bigger, but in the long run, it is going to destroy us. And so it is essential that we recapture the biblical and historical understanding of what the church is. We must stand firm on the foundational doctrines of Reformed theology and practice. Now, we must be careful not to become reactionary and add to the Word of God by making secondary and indifferent issues foundational. This is, in and of itself, revisionist, and it will break the true church apart. One of the things that becomes essential in this process is the proper identification of the true church. The good news is that we have not been left without guidance. First, we have the Word of God preserved to guide us, and we also have the writings of the Reformers, the creeds, confessions, and so forth to help aid us in this process. The apostles, by the power of the Word of God, built the church in a hostile culture and turned the world upside down, which is what we are facing today. The Reformers, in obedience to the Word of God, reformed an apostate church and once again turned the world upside down. We are not lacking in information to guide us in this quest. We don't have to look all around us and complain and moan and cry and bellyache because of the situation that we find ourselves in. The real question is whether we will come down off of our high horse in subjection to the Word of God, and whether or not we will be willing to learn from the saints before us. The church has given us many gifts to instruct us, but we have become so self-centered and full of pride that, quite frankly, we are just refusing to hear. We are rejecting the Word of God as our final authority, and we are rejecting any help and aid that has been given unto us throughout the history of the church. The Reformers were not only clear, but they were very blunt concerning this essential truth. For instance, Turretin wrote this: "The marks of this church," and of course he is speaking of the true church, but he said, "the marks of this church are to be investigated, and that after we have observed that it is not a question of marks by which believers can be distinguished from hypocrites, but of marks from which we may discern whether a communion, a local or particular church, whether a communion is true, so that we may join it, and that it is not a question of the marks of the Christian church generally. The profession of Christianity suffices to distinguish it from others, but of the marks of the true church among those assemblages which call themselves Christian." In relation to the spirit of this age, that quote is jam-packed with hard-hitting statements. Turretin upholds the necessity of the true church and our responsibility to join a true church. Our purpose of making discernment concerning any particular church is not to know whether they profess to be Christian, but whether they display the marks of a true church. He is making a distinction between those who profess to be a Christian church and those who are actually the true church. And there is an important distinction. Today, there is not much discernment in this regard, primarily because of two extremes in our Reformed circles. There are those who are headhunters and sow discord among the brethren over every secondary and indifferent doctrine. Every secondary doctrine and indifferent practice imaginable is used in order to break the unity of the church. Then on the flip side are those who do not see any value in doctrine, not even the fundamental doctrines of the faith. Johann Alsted wrote this, and I quote, "A heretic differs from a schismatic. The former errs in the doctrine and substance of faith, the schismatic in accessories. The heretic corrupts the purity of the faith by false dogma. The schismatic disrupts the bond of fraternal association." End of quote. Heinrich Adiest wrote, "A schismatic is one who, while preserving faith's foundation, departs from some rite of the church, or from a received doctrine, or, for some other reason, from the church. A heretic is one who, convulsing the foundations of faith, either directly or by inevitable inference, gives persistent battle on behalf of his heresy." End of quote. These two errors, to not seek discernment between the false and the true, but between their own kingdoms and agendas. And it is tearing the church apart today. It is destroying our society, and we must return to the firm foundations of our faith. Reformed Christianity must take up the task of discerning between the true and the false church, and then act accordingly. It is not as though we have been left to ourselves in this matter. The saints of the past focused upon this very important topic and have given us the biblical standard to discern the true church. So, we might ask, what are the marks of a true church? The Leiden Synopsis states, the true and essential and visible marks of this pure church are the pure preaching and reception of the word, sealed through the lawful use of the sacraments, and maintained by the use of the keys or ecclesiastical discipline according to Christ's institution. End of quote. Unless you are glassy-eyed, it is obvious we have a lot of work to do in reforming the church in America. The time to start rebuilding is now by restoring the true church of Jesus Christ. That same church that the gates of hell cannot withstand its advancement. So, how strong was the reformed view of the church? The true church, those that contained the three marks thereof. Heinrich Hepp wrote in his excellent book, Reformed Dogmatics, God bestows his saving grace on us through the church, so that we have to regard here as the mother of our spiritual life. And so precisely, in the fellowship of church life, we ought, on the one hand, to grow conscious of our state of grace, and on the other hand, to maintain ourselves as confessors of the Lord to our own and our neighbor's edification. So it is God's will that we should connect ourselves as living members with the church fellowship, which we recognize as the true or as the purest church. End of quote. This true or purest church is referencing the marks of the true church found in Scripture, and it then professed and confessed in Reformed theology. We are to be biblically connected to the biblical church, for it is in this true church where the saving grace of God is effectually present and lavished upon those who are drawn by the Father unto the Son. Concerning the security of our salvation, Calvin wrote that our salvation rests on a foundation so firm and sure that though the whole fabric of the world were to give way, it could not be destroyed. Calvin set forth two reasons by writing this. First, he said, it stands with the election of God and cannot change or fail any more than his eternal providence. Next, it is in a manner united with the stability of Christ, who will no more allow his faithful followers to be torn to pieces. We may add that so long as we continue in the bosom of the church, we are sure that the truth will remain with us. End of quote. Therefore, Calvin could also go on to write, but as it is now our purpose to discourse of the visible church, let us learn from her single title of mother how useful, nay, how necessary the knowledge of her is, since there is no other means of entering into life unless she conceive us in the womb and give us birth, unless she nourish us at her breasts, and in short, keep us under her charge and government until, divested of mortal flesh, we become like the angels. That is how strong the reformers believed the importance of the church. Calvin would write, moreover, beyond the pale of the church, no forgiveness of sins, no salvation can be hoped for. Calvin concluded that the abandonment of the church is always fatal. This high view of the church, by which we mean the true church, those who possess all three marks thereof may be distasteful to those who have been influenced by the sugar and spice and everything nice in modern evangelicalism. It may be an unpleasant sound to the ears of individualists, autonomous libertarians, and many of those who are so anti-establishment that they have rejected the God-ordained institutions. But nonetheless, It is a foundational doctrine of the Reformed Church. And at some point, everyone within the Reformed designation must be confronted with these foundational truths so as to confirm or deny their claim to the label of Reformed. If you are Reformed, then be Reformed. Affirm, profess, and practice the foundational doctrines and practices of what is historically Reformed, not because of tradition, not because it is cool, not because of any reason other than you have searched the Scriptures and you have found the Reformed faith along with its confessions and theological doctrines and practice to be faithful declarations of Holy Writ. We are Reformed because we believe it is biblical. And if you do not believe it is biblical, then don't call yourself Reformed. Now, when I say cool, I am not referring to your style of clothes, your music, or even the technology that you possess, or the technological ability that you have to make high-quality presentations. I am talking about the doctrines and practices of Reformed theology. You see, we do not need these things to be adapted into new formulas in order to make them more appealing to a rebellious culture. What we need is the old faith proclaimed and practiced to the glory of God. The church is not some community center. It is not a welfare agency. It is not breakfast at Denny's with a couple of professing brethren. The church is the institution of Jesus Christ for the spiritual governance of the saints and the agency of Christ for the execution of the Great Commission unto all nations. It is to the church that God has bestowed his means of grace unto salvation for sinners. It is not unto parachurches, retreats, counselors, or any other agency or tool that these means of grace have been given. They have been given to the church. According to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, it is the church unto whom the manifold wisdom of God is revealed. In Ephesians 3:10, it is the church where the glory of Jesus Christ is found throughout all ages, world without end. In 1 Timothy 3:15, it is the church that is declared to be the pillar and ground of the truth. In Matthew 16:18, it is the church that Jesus declared would be granted the power to victoriously assault the gates of hell. If we continue to tinker around with inadequate means and inadequate agencies, we shall never be able to complete the task that only the church can effectively fulfill. Everything else is an imposter to the work of the Great Commission. Civil government has its place, and it is ordained by God, but it cannot bring salvation. Politics and government cannot save us. It can fulfill its purpose, but it has not been ordained as the agency to bring salvation. Civil government's role is to restrain the public display and spread of evil, but its role is not salvific. The family, although it is essential, and it too is an ordained institution by God, but neither is it adequate for the mission God has given to the church. We desperately need godly marriages and children raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but its role is not to fulfill the Great Commission. The family is the primary agent of education and discipleship, but it is and will be ineffective in bringing all nations to Christ. So what is this mission that only the church can fulfill? Jesus commanded the church, the institution that possesses the means of grace, possesses officers, ecclesiastical officers, and doctrines, commandments, government, and rights, as the agency to preach the gospel and the whole counsel of God to every creature. God has not designated individuals or other organizations for this task, but the church alone. Jesus also commanded the church to baptize all believers who hear the word and respond in faith and repentance due to the effectual call of God that regenerates the sinner unto new life. This task belongs unto the church to examine and confirm those who are to be initiated into Christ by identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus also gave the third task of the commission unto the church, which is to disciple all those who have been baptized into Christ and his church from all nations into complete obedience to the whole Word of God. Discipleship in every doctrine, commandment, and practice that relates to every aspect of life. Obedience in the church, obedience in the family, and obedience in civil government. Only the church has the authority to do this, and only the true church has the power to fulfill it. Because the scriptures teach such a high view of the church, Caspar Olivian wrote, "When God provides our eyes with the sight of an assemblage which is a member of the Holy Catholic Church, the mark having been shown of true prophetic and apostolic doctrine, under which are embraced lawful administration of the sacraments and training in all godliness, we ought to unite with that assemblage. For as he is himself our father, it is his pleasure that the church be our mother. In her we are both born and brought up right to the end of our lives. God is pleased by the church's ministry to quicken us by his Spirit, stamp remission of sins on our hearts, and reshape us daily in the same unto his own image. On the other hand, he who despises such an assemblage, possessing the mark of a true church, to wit truth of prophetic and apostolic doctrine, which happens when a man does not communicate in sound doctrine and prayers, and when he does not attach himself to the communion of saints through the visible witness of the covenant, baptism, and the sacred Eucharist, cannot be sure of his own salvation. And he who persists in such contempt is not elect." End of quote. The issue of ecclesiology is not just some minor issue to be regulated to the back burner of indifferent or even secondary issues. It is a gospel issue and an issue of salvation. At least, if you are really and truly reformed in the classical or historical sense, which, by the way, I believe to be the biblical sense. If we do not get this ecclesiology thing right, we will never rebuild this society. When the 70 years of captivity were finished and the commission came to restore Jerusalem, the very first thing the Jews were commissioned to do was to rebuild the sanctuary. Yes, the city was still in ruins. The walls and the gates were demolished. But the first order of business was ecclesiastical restoration. Notice as well that it was restoration and not revolution. The Jews were not told to create something new, but they were commanded to restore the old. You see, we are reformers, not revolutionaries. We are not emergent. Our call is found in Jeremiah 6:16. Where it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Thank you for listening, and we will continue this conversation next week on Standing Firm. Until then, if you would like to come worship with us here in Central Indiana, you can go to our website at reformedholytrinity.org to find out more and to find out our locations, or you can email me at james@covenantcommission.org. So until next time, keep on the firing line, and may God be merciful and send revival and reformation to our land.
thing to help.
What if you're Jewish or Muslim and you don't accept Christ at all?
You know, I'm very careful about saying who would and wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know. I think only
God. But you believe, you have to believe in Christ.
I believe.
They're wrong, aren't they?
Well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I believe here's what the Bible teaches, and from the Christian faith, this is what I believe. But I just think that only God can judge a person's heart. I've spent a lot of time in India with my father, and, you know, I don't know all about their religion, but I know they love God. And I don't know. I'd have to, you know, I've seen their sincerity, so...
Reformed Church of the Holy Trinity was ordained in October of 2013 as a visible Church of Jesus Christ in Mooresville, Indiana. In the last 3 years, we have grown from 2 families to the 8 families that currently make up this assembly. We began in our home, and 2 years ago, the Lord graciously provided a historic church building on an acre of land to serve as the home of Reformed Church of the Holy Trinity. While we are thankful to God for His graciousness to us, we understand our duty is not to worry about or manipulate the results, but to faithfully proclaim and establish God's Word. If you are tired of churches and ministers who abandon biblical doctrines and practices in order to be more accepted, popular, bigger, and richer, Reformed Church of the Holy Trinity is dedicated to the biblical and historical faith. We are striving to worship and serve the triune God in liturgy, community, and mission. Come join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at 8209 New Harmony Road in Morgan County, Indiana. For more information, please visit us on the web at reformedholytrinity.org. That is reformedholytrinity.org. You have been listening to the Standing Firm podcast. Standing Firm is a ministry of Covenant Commission brought to you by Reformed Church of the Holy Trinity, by the authority of Christ to go into the whole world and preach the gospel. For more information, visit Covenant Commission online at covenantcommission.org or Reformed Church of the Holy Trinity at reformedholytrinity.org. You can also write us at Reformed Church of the Holy Trinity, Post Office Box 1125, Mooresville, Indiana 46158. Again, that is Reformed Church of the Holy Trinity, P.O. Box 1125, Mooresville, Indiana 46158.